You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight, we talk about Anatomie d'une Chute, or Anatomy of a Fall. Probably fucked that pronunciation up, right, Kristen?
It's okay.
I mean, just because Kristen is in France doesn't mean she knows how to speak French. I mean,
fuck, No. She hears the accent more often than we do.
Anatomie d'une Chute. Oh, did you think you sounded like a native speaker? Because you absolutely did not. No.
Anatomie d'une Chute.
Spoke it correctly.
Dune. Anatomie d'une Chute.
You had the compliment and you lost it.
You, no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are puke. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir. Ah, yes. I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead
fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your hosts. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me tonight, cinematographer Jared Cowan.
Comment allez-vous, Brian?
I don't speak French, Jared. I have no idea what you just said. I'm assuming it's hello or good evening or something.
How you doing,
those.
Brian?
Oh, okay. I'm doing good. Doing good.
Good.
Next time, come with English. I'm just saying. Or subtitles.
Decor.
We also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello, hello.
Hey, hey. And here we are talking about Anatomy of a Fall. The Oscar-winning now Anatomy of a Fall because it won Best Original Screenplay.
What was it up against?
Oh, shit, man. I don't have that up right now. Why you gotta pull something like that?
I was just testing your Oscar gangster.
Man, I don't even know. Because American Fiction was adapted, right?
Was it?
I thought it was. Wait, do they not have the nominations up on... Okay, they do. All right, Anatomy of Fall 1 nominated Past Lives, May December, Maestro, and, ooh, The Holdovers.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, I see how this one, man. It's fucking excellent. Yes. Let's get into it.
Oh, I thought you were going to knock all the others. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No. If you get on that list, I think you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I think so. You're in good company there.
Yeah, but this one's unstoppable, man.
Best argument, maybe, of all time in a movie? Like, best couple fight, for sure. Hmm. I can't think of a better couple fight. I was thinking about one today, and I was like, man, you know, like, some of these are close, but they're not hitting all the notes that this argument in this movie hits. It's so good. And it's in the middle of a courtroom scene, too.
What? Yeah. It's a long one, too, though. You kind of let it build. You know, it starts out as a conversation that builds in, as most arguments do. And then some old shit's brought up. You know, just like arguments do. But then we don't get the meat of it, though. You know, when they start popping off.
No, we just... Well, that's not the meat of it. That's just the violence, right? We miss the violence... We see everything else.
Well, but also I think if we see the violence, we would be more influenced. This is a very ambiguous movie. It is careful not to cast blame, I think.
Yeah.
And so if you saw the violence, you would have an opinion of what's going on.
It was definitely brilliant to cut out when they did and just kind of like sit on the faces of people listening.
Well, even just the way the movie starts with like... before we even see anything, we're hearing people talking, and then the tape recorder starts, and then we start seeing images. And that's just a great way to start the movie. It's like nothing exists in these people's lives until something starts rolling. And then everything else we have to deduce and figure out on our own.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't think about that about the beginning.
Yeah, I had to watch the beginning a couple times. Just, that time jump kept fucking with me, man.
Where's the time jump?
Man, I wrote it down because it was fucking with me so goddamn bad. It was, where is it? It's like 59 minutes? 52 minutes into the film. There's a 1 year later time jump. It's like right after they do all the preliminary stuff, and then we're getting ready to go into court, and then it's like a year. It just passes. The kid's playing the piano.
And it shows that that's actually a cool way to show time passing, because he's trying to figure out that really complicated piece, and then he's getting it. I mean, this just shows that he's been woodshedding it for a while.
It does. I don't know. Yeah, that time jump does mess with my head, though, because you're just not expecting it story-wise.
Speaking of the woodshed, on my second watch, I noticed that the crane, like the top-down shot, when they come out and they find Dad's body, and then you see Mom and the son standing, you know, frame right over him, and she's like, you know, freaking out. You can see on the woodshed, snow is missing in a nice little spot that's covered later.
Oh, from when they did their, I guess, when they show you, they do the reenactment later when the snow melts.
Yeah. It's, there's no blood there, but there's definitely a spot where it looks like something hit the woodshed right there. Very subtle. You wouldn't know to look for it unless you're watching it for a second time.
Man, I didn't even notice it the second or third time. Not that I really, do you guys really care if she killed her husband or not? I mean, you don't get an answer in the movie. Does that bother you guys? Do you care?
That we don't get an answer?
Yeah.
I think it's nice. I actually went into this, like, as soon as it started, her first conversation with the interviewer, I was like, oh, she totally did it. Like, she's guilty of something. And I was like, this movie is just going to be like, you know, does he deserve it or not kind of thing.
Are you talking about the girl at the beginning? That
yeah.
She was having? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, it plays out that, yeah, you don't know what happened, actually. And I actually really like that, because I think we're so quick to cast judgment, and especially because I think we have a very strong sense of like right and wrong. And if you did this, then you should be punished unless something, you know, unless he deserved it. And then you don't, you know, like there's a lot of nuance in this movie that I think we miss in our day-to-day lives. And so, no, I don't think that it needs to be solved, because I don't know that it matters, actually.
Well, they don't give you a reason really to show that he would have quote unquote deserved this at all. You do get a little bit why he might want to commit suicide, you know, bad relationship, all that kind of stuff. You know, failed career, feeling like he's trapped, even though he's home. Interesting, you know, all this stuff going on, but I don't ever really see a reason for her to actually murder him.
Well, so when she's giving the interview and he starts playing that music, that is like a telltale sign of abusive behavior. And so that's what I assumed was going on, was that he was abusive. And of course it plays out and we're not really shown definitively one way or the other what's going on. But that was why I was like, oh, she definitely killed him. If he's abusing her, she definitely killed him. But so let's see what happened.
It's interesting that they, you know, you bring up abuse, and we never see violence, but we hear it. And so that, therefore, we don't know which side it's coming from.
Right.
And then she says that, you know, he has a tendency to punch the wall. What's interesting to me is that when you look at the photos that they show of those punches, they don't look like punches to me. Like, how are you going to knock? You're going to punch a piece of wood and it's going to take a cut out of it like that? That seems like that's way more than a punch.
I just
assume
that
was him, or is that
drywall,
her, or
right?
You know?
Yeah, it's drywall. They don't make houses out of wood in France.
Oh, okay. You would know.
Or most of the world, actually. it's like a U.S. thing.
Yeah, I
could have
sworn
there was like
a
close up of a wood. No, they showed multiple shots.
Okay.
I just accepted that at face value.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't examine the walls.
Well, I was thinking, you know, like it's because she's saying it. So, and she's the one that said that she threw the glass at the wall first. So those could be impacts from throwing things, or, you know, not necessarily just being a fist against the wall.
Well, that's the thing is, yeah, we're only getting her side of the story, which is also not necessarily reliable.
Right.
And that's what's so great about this movie. Like, everybody calls that out, like, all the time. You know, it's just like, well, did anybody else see this? Well, that really ain't Uber shit, is it now? Yeah, it's so good. Like, every time I feel like she's, like, dug herself out of something, it's like, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, court of public opinion, you're still fucked.
Right. The movie does a really good job of keeping you, of not giving you information and making you watch something and start having your own conclusions. Even like at the beginning when the first time you see the kid's eyes and you're like, holy shit, what's wrong with the kid? Like, you know, and you're asking yourself this the whole time and it's not until minutes later, like shit, it could be 15 minutes into the film where you actually understand why he is the way he is and all that. It just builds all this stuff really, really well. And instead of like just throwing a bunch of exposition at you, it lets you kind of learn it a little bit, learn the characters, develop your own conclusions, and then they start pumping stuff in a little bit. And then it makes you start questioning yourself on everything.
Yeah. Even that first courtroom scene, man, when they're talking about that interview clip, and it's just like, why are they interviewing this woman? You know, why is she in the courtroom? She just spent like maybe 10 minutes with this woman. I guess it was maybe right before the husband died, but then it just comes out in the middle. It's just like, oh, did you know that the defendant was bisexual? Did you
know she had an affair?
And it's just like, holy shit.
Did you feel a sexual tension at the beginning in that?
Yeah, I thought she was hitting on her also. Yes.
Really?
So, abusive husband.
I didn't know. I heard it the
sexual,
second time.
Sexual, you know, what, chemistry.
Sexual tension. Yeah, yeah.
Tension. Okay. Tension, that's better. Because I didn't think the interviewer was interested, but yes. Yeah, so that's why I, again, was like, there's something going on here. She clearly doesn't get along with her husband at all.
Yeah, but we don't know all of that on the first go around. It's like the first time we've really seen her face, and then like her laugh. It's really the only time we really see her smile.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And having like a connection with somebody, you know, throughout the entire film, really, except for the lawyer guy, which kind of builds throughout the movie up until their last moment together.
Oh, the attorney that was also immediately hitting on her. That guy.
Well, no. He didn't. No.
Listen,
Kristen.
Okay, listen.
He waited two
when
scenes.
Come on.
The first time they're drinking, he's like, so, what's up, girl? What animal do I
he
look like?
He showed up immediately. Immediately.
He
was
like
yeah,
snake,
I'll defend you for sure. No, listen. It's just a thing that happens, okay? I don't know what to tell you. Women do it, too. The second the woman dies, there's a line of women, okay, waiting for the widow. Like, I don't know why people do that, but they do. There was a lot of sketchiness going on at the very beginning.
Really? Even at the beginning with a lawyer?
Yeah, he's not going to show up just for fun.
Well, they had some history together too, right? And like,
yeah, they used to date. He's not going to show up just for fun.
I don't know.
I'm
Do you
sorry,
think that they dated?
Up. They hooked up. Okay,
we don't know
That's
if they hooked
implied.
Up. We know that he pined after her. That's what is said. Now, like, if they actually dated, we don't know that because they don't ever say that they actually date. He just said that he was obsessed with her, and she can't
Who
even
says that
he does when they're drinking for the first time out in the snow.
Oh, that's right.
Because like she asked him a really bizarre question that starts that whole conversation. Oh, do you remember what I was like back then? I guess referring to when they were in school together. And he's like, yeah,
before she got married, before she lost her whole self in her marriage and her misery. Yes. And that is why she is also interested in him. Not only is he offering free legal services, but he remembers who she used to be. It's attractive when you're like super depressed like that.
Whatever. It wasn't free. She had to put up like her fucking second mortgage on a house, right?
Yeah, I don't think it was free.
On.
There were like three people
on
that on that team defending her. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The other people probably weren't free.
And they're like, wait, I'm not working for free. I don't care if you love this girl.
Oh, yeah. Apparently the blood splatter person was really expensive. But fuck, she was worth every goddamn penny, though. She was great in court. She was the best one in court.
Dude, I love all the procedural stuff in this.
Oh, it's so
I love seeing all the tests and like all the little models and stuff that they built and all this, everything, all of that. Like, if you're going to do a courtroom procedure, I need the Dexter shit. You know, I need all that like forensic stuff. It's really fucking great.
I thought that was so funny when you're looking at the house and all of a sudden a body just goes flying out the window. I was like, don't they have computer models? Like, do they do this in real life? I mean, I guess they would, right?
I would like to think so, yeah.
I don't know. Is the French government like this? Are the fucking lawyers, like, just allowed to be douchebags and, like, antagonize witnesses and defendants?
Hey, you're guilty until proven innocent, apparently.
I mean, they're just assholes to everyone, man.
Yeah. Oh, they when that little kid, that kid actor is fucking phenomenal, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every one of his scenes is excellent. But, like, in that moment where they're doing that, like, argument test with the music and you know, and then he's like, well, I'd like to do it inside. And he has this moment where he's like, I think I was mistaken. And the way that that fucking like investigator guy is like, oh okay. What, you know, just like his attitude as he turns around, I was like, damn, just don't give a fuck.
Yeah. So on the one hand, I was like, we're treating a child like shit. Like this is horrible. Yes. But on the other hand, I'm like, you know what? He is kind of the only witness. He's like, you need to be sure. But yeah, it was. I was really surprised at how they treated him.
And the whole like keeping the whole thing like the emphasis on keeping him away from his mother, and then during the thing is very interesting. Like of course that does make sense, and I'm sure that happens here as well. But just that whole dynamic was like wow.
That was actually one of the things that I kept thinking about was how would this movie be rewritten to be reflected like in the U.S. and the U.S. courts? Because I'm actually not sure how. I mean, I don't know about the accuracy of this one, but I'm not sure how a murder trial would also play out in the U.S. when the son is the key witness. I think they would remove him from the home, wouldn't they?
Put him in a foster home, right? You would think that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So here they let him stay.
As long as they have the intermediate person there.
Yeah.
Who you know, broke her oath a little bit and had a conversation with him. Grr. You know?
I thought that was a good conversation.
No, it was. He needed it at that moment. You know.
Oh, and wait, are you talking about the court-appointed person?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who looked weirdly like him.
Her fucking haircut's so fucking terrible. Like, her bangs are too straight across her fucking forehead. It needs to be just
French,
a little bit.
French. Come on, man. It's French.
It needs to stop above your eyes, girl. You can't take it all the way back to your ears. Come on.
Why not?
Because she looks like a Vulcan, bro, the entire time. I was like,
yeah, dude, you're right.
Okay,
she doesn't
look
like a Vulcan.
She looks like Mr. Spock.
Like, I could have been okay with her look, except she looked just like the little boy. And I was like, you can't have two main characters look identical like that.
Fucking Leonard Nimoy over here. Yeah, no, she did have a weird look. And her clothes were weird, too. She kept wearing all these weird, like, gray sweaters and brown sweaters. And I was just like, what is up with this character?
She's intermediate, man.
She's trying to be neutral.
I guess. Yeah. All right. I know that makes sense, but just terrible decisions in your wardrobe.
No, she's probably like, what do I have to wear? What do I have to wear to work today when I'm like
babysitting
watching
this kid.
A kid with this dog, you know?
Walking around, listen to this
and
kid teach his mom French.
Clothes that I have.
That would be the worst. You can't even involve yourself in the conversation. You just sit back and listen to other
You're
people.
Just floating. You can't talk about that. Alonzi.
Oh, fuck. It would be terrible. All the acting is really good. And you know what? Good dog acting, too.
Dude, this dog should have won the Oscar. I mean, if there was a dog Oscar, this dog wins every
Wait,
year.
Is this the dog that came to the Oscars, or was that a different movie with the dog?
Same dog?
It was this dog.
That dog deserved to go to the Oscars.
Fuck yeah, it did.
Like, okay, so did anyone do any research on how they did doggy OD? Because wow, really, really well done.
What do you mean research on how they did doggy OD?
How did they like have this dog OD on pills like that and act like it's stunned and dazed? Dude,
they probably drugged him.
Oh, they actually like shoved a bunch of aspirin down his throat.
I don't know. I don't think they like
okay,
poisoned
spot.
Him. No, but they do make like tranquilize, like a low, like they could have probably given him a low grade tranquilizer and the rest. And then he can just like be semi conscious on camera because that's not illegal to do, you know.
I guess. I thought it was a stuffed animal, but then that shot after he pukes and wakes up, that's all fucking one shot. And I'm just like, how the fuck did they do that?
Yeah,
that's pretty incredible. Because you see the dog, like, I don't know, maybe the throw up could have been done off screen. Because you can't.
I think it was.
You see his
head go forward, and it covers the spot, and then he pulls back. You know, so it's kind of a.
Yeah, but then he gets up, and he looks so wide awake, and it's just like, how did he go from looking?
Especially
drugged,
with the tongue hanging out of his mouth, right? Limp. You know, just dead eyes, just forward dead eyes. Yeah.
Although to be fair, that dog does have dead eyes from the very beginning of the movie. It does have a dead eye stare. You know what I mean? Maybe it's just the blue eyes.
Really?
Yeah,
that's right. Everyone with blue eyes has dead eyes. I get it.
I mean, I didn't say that. None of us have blue eyes, right? All right, we're good.
I have blue eyes.
No, you don't, Kristen.
Kind of
no, you don't.
Blue green.
Got the blue eye filter on here.
She's a Fremen.
Kristen, did you get that nerd joke?
I did not. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Give it a couple weeks, you will.
For Dune Part Dos.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing. Okay.
That thing.
Yeah.
You remember how in the first Dune you were like, man, this needs more action because it's boring.
You did. Yeah, it was really boring, actually.
Yeah, you were like, this is boring. And then you're like, it needs more action. And then Mike goes.
Oh, my
gosh. Then Mike goes, listen, Kristen, if it had more action, then you say this is bullshit like the Marvel movies. Well, this time we get more action. So
there should be a balance, obviously. No, I did find a thread on Twitter where everyone's like, what is like a cinematic masterpiece that you actually really hate and you just sit there and you don't understand it? And everyone was
like,
Dune.
Matrix 3.
No, everybody was like, Dune. And I was like, I found my people.
Oh, man. Dune is the Lord of the Rings of this generation.
I didn't like that either. Okay.
What? Come on, Kristen. Come on.
Okay,
you're not even trying to be a nerd now. You're going.
I'm not. I only saw like the middle one, and I obviously my complaint was that there was no beginning and no ending.
I mean,
Kristen isn't a nerd in real life. She just plays one on a podcast.
I don't play. I don't think I play one. Do I? I'm real bad at it.
Read the middle chapter of this book, and you know what? It sucks.
Okay, well,
you just opened up to the middle.
Maybe they should all come out at once. Like, I would watch that probably.
Well, to be fair, Kristen, the first part did come out before the second. So,
well, I was at like a party, and everyone was like, "You know, what would be fun at a party? Let's put on Lord of the Rings."
And they put on the second one.
And they put on the second one. Yeah.
Ugh!
What a bunch of
come
assholes.
On, man. I've definitely seen the first one way more than any of the other ones because it has a nice feel good tone to it. Two is just not where you start in that series.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, I feel like it had potential, and I feel like I would probably enjoy it if I like sat down and watched the whole thing. But you know, it's not my top 10 activities.
Well, Fellowship of the Ring and Dune 1 kind of have the same.
There's not an ending. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay. Oh, we just did a bunch of shit. Guess what? We got a bunch more shit to do. Come on.
No, you know what? No, I do feel like Fellowship of the Ring, though, has like a kind of close. It feels like a chapter close. You know, like the Star Wars movies have like a close.
Yeah, and
you
Dune
know.
1 and Dune 2 feel like they're the same movie. You could just like stick them together. You know, it's like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Right in.
Those feel more like they've been, I don't know, feel more unfinished. Anyway. Thematically incomplete, if you would. Anyway, so we stop talking about Dune.
Unlike Anatomy of a Fall. Like, when we get to the next picture, Anatomy of a Winter, I think it'll be a whole different thing.
That is bad, Jared. That is a fucking terrible dad joke. I'm glad you said it and not me.
I knew as soon as I said it was terrible. All right.
He still went for it, though. He could have stopped himself like halfway.
Oh,
through.
No, there's no stopping. I mean, like, look, I know you're going to edit me, man, or you'll let it go. Who cares?
You know... We'll let it go.
Okay.
Let's talk budget real quick. Movie cost $6.7 million.
Really?
Yep. Made.
Where'd they spend that money?
What do you mean?
On the crane.
Okay.
I mean, $6.7 is not a lot.
Yeah, he just thinks it could have been done for less. And he's kind of right. It could have been done for less.
You think so?
You think they built that house?
Oh, I just assumed no. I just assumed they found one, but they could have.
Hmm.
No, actually, maybe it was heating everything because they had all those outdoor scenes and so.
Yeah, it is so pretty though. Like great locations.
Well, yeah, it was really pretty, but like maybe that's where all the money went was keeping people warm.
I don't know. 6.7 is not a lot though. Like you got a three. I don't know. They got at
These
least a 2-month shoot, bare minimum.
They're just sitting around talking though. Come on.
Yeah, it's just a lot of talking, man. It's just a lot of talking. A lot of dialogue scenes, you know?
And there's actually, there's a lot of scenes where there's no dialogue. It's just... Well,
that's true. I mean, that makes it easy.
With as natural as the dialogue feels and how this won, like, you know, best screenplay, I wonder how close this is to the screenplay. Or was there a lot of, like, looseness with, like, capturing these moments? Because every now and then the film feels a little documentary-y. Especially
like
with
that,
some of the weird camera stuff that they do.
Weird. Why do you call it weird? I didn't think it was weird. I thought it was pretty fucking on point.
No, no, there's really great stuff, but like think about there's one moment in the it's in the courtroom and the camera like sloppily like pans
yeah.
over to the and then it kind of readjusts real quick and like I was like, "Ah, why did we do that? Did we not have coverage?"
Well, the very first shot of Sandra Hüller when she's like in the interview, her very first shot, her very first close up, they buzz the focus.
Yeah, they do.
Really bad. And like it looks like it's purposefully buzzed, not like accidentally buzzed. I don't know why you would with an actress sitting there.
I felt that was a she leans forward and they kind of catch it, you know. I don't know if that happens.
Yeah, I don't know. The depth of field didn't look that shallow though. Maybe it was.
Maybe it was.
But yeah, I don't
That's
know.
Very compressed right there.
It feels good. It
yeah,
just feels purposeful.
It feels good. I like that they used that in the beginning. I thought it worked really well actually because you're not really seeing clearly, you know. It's like a nice intro, I thought.
Oh yeah, that's yeah, because like it does feel the super. Most of the film isn't really tight depth of field like that. It opens up after that moment, like it is really shallow
sometimes.
There. And then as things, yeah. But one of my favorite things they did with the camera is when they were the son's testimony, his first testimony, and they stick on him in this dolly, and we hear the prosecutor and his attorney having their conversation back and forth, and it's all from his, it's not his perspective, it's just all on the kid, but it dollies to the right, and then it dollies really quickly over to the left as he looks, and it's just kind of like very interestingly done. Very brave choice to do there, but it's really good, because you do need to stick with him there. And that lends into it, because he can't really see them that well, and so by sticking on them, you can't see them, and you're hearing them. So his reaction and back and forth, it's more the way he would experience that.
And then I really like when later in this, those scenes when the mom's talking and the kids listening to what the mom's saying with her sexual experiences and the argument and her dad's suicide. Where that's the first time we see the kid from the back of his head. We're seeing like his over the shoulder looking at the mom. We don't even see the kid's face there. Fucking love it. We don't know what he's thinking. Oh, so good. So good. All these choices are excellent. And I do think those, the sloppy camera work and the focus buzzes, I feel like those are purposeful, just like the lack of music in this thing. You know?
Yes.
It's all of it's to make it feel real as they can make it.
Yes. And then when that music does come in, that fucking, I'm a motherfucking PIMP, that fucking, it hits really hard. And it's always so fucking loud and intrusive, and it's just like grinding, you know, it's out of place. It's, you know, it's perfect. Steel drums. Yeah.
They did such a good job with all this stuff. Yeah. All of it feels purposeful. You know, I may have been stretching on Poor Things, but I feel like I'm right on this one.
Stretching in what way?
Well, when we were like trying to, you know, justify the camera mistakes and Poor Things, whether those were purposeful or just accidents that they let go.
I think that was time. Yeah, that's just shit they let go. I 100% think that.
I think like this problem like may have, I don't know if they did it on purpose necessarily. I feel like some of it may have been like camera mistakes. And then when they were editing it, they were like, actually, let's use that take. That's kind of what it feels like to me here, because I think it works really well for the story. Unless it was written in the script, I would be very curious.
I don't know if it was written in the script, but guys, their fucking choice of the grain. There is a moment, and I never thought about this, but the movie's really fucking grainy. I was just like, oh, they're shooting it on a fucking cheap camera. But there is a moment where you see like a video, and they zoom in on that video, and you can see the video grain, and then they pull out a little bit from that shot, and you can see that video grain with the video grain that's on top of it. So you're seeing two layers of the video grain, and it just makes you realize you're watching a video. It's so fucking good. fucking love it.
Yeah, the film is super grainy, but it was shot on the Mini LF, which is not really a grainy camera, and can handle fairly low light.
That's what I'm saying.
And also read that they were using anamorphic lenses at times on this, but this film's not anamorphic, so making me wonder what's going on there. But the times where we see that definite change in the image, you see, and it's actually, it was really clever, especially when they're doing the argument test, the argument reenactment, there's a camera there, and we keep cutting to that camera's POV, but you never really see the camera except in like reflections, which is kind of crazy. You see that camera operator over in a mirror, and you see his little camera, and then you cut into his camera POV, and you definitely feel that vibe. But that's cool, though. And then I love that those angles that we see are also on the screen in the courtroom.
Yeah, admit, masterfully done. Masterfully done. Got nothing but great things to say about the cinematography. Are we at breakpoint? I think we're at breakpoint. You know what? Let's play the trailer for Anatomy of a Fall, and we'll be right back.
I just want you to know one thing. I'm not a monster.
I need you to be precise. Tell me everything.
Yes.
I don't know what happened. I think he fell off that third floor. The window's open.
The autopsy report is inconclusive. An accidental fall is going to be hard for us to defend. That's why there's an investigation for a more suspicious death. Because you were the only person there. And of course, you're his wife.
Stop. I did not kill him.
That's not the point.
You had a fight the day before he died.
You need to start seeing yourself the way others are going to perceive you. Is there anything that would seem consistent with a suicide?
You have to tell them exactly like you remember it.
You complain about the life that you chose. You are not a victim. Not at all.
Be fair. I am a man who's been cheated on. I can't stand anymore. I'll fight it.
Innocent, you know that, right?
All right, we're back. That was a trailer for Justine Triet's Anatomy of a Fall, or some kind of French name like that. What a great trailer, right? Oh, I want to watch this movie again now.
It is a really great trailer. And they don't give away anything, because there's nothing to give away, because you never learn anything. The whole movie's speculation, goddammit. All you know is that she loves her kid, right?
Yeah, the trailer is really, really good, and... Yeah, you're right. They give nothing away. And I don't know. I think her love for her child is also questionable.
Really?
There are moments, yeah. Like the godmother is the one that comforts Daniel after the dad dies, not the mom. Yeah. He doesn't confide in the mom. The mom just goes and fix like some kind of soup or something.
Which you could claim, you know, she's grieving also, except I don't think she is. And... Like, yeah, at some point he's crying and she's like, you need to stop. We need to keep going on with our lives.
Yeah, that felt a little soon, you know. Like, look, I know your dad died like 2 days ago, but get over it. Fuck, we got a life to live here, kid.
That was yesterday. Grow the fuck up. Stop thinking about yourself.
Yeah, drink this soup.
Goddamn whiny little bastards. Kids today, right? You know, watching the movie the second time, I did have to remind myself, you know, I'm watching this as an English-speaking audience member. And, you know, like, if you were French and you were watching this, all the moments, all the television, all the stuff in the courtroom, all that stuff would be your native language. And all those right. personal moments with the husband and wife, all those would be in English. which would be a foreign tongue to you. Mm-hmm. And to me, like that, I thought that was amazing because it makes me feel like the foreign thing is the publicity and like everything that's being pushed, the narrative, you know. But it is kind of crazy that when you think about like if you were French and you were watching this, you would have the exact opposite opinion and reaction to it.
Well, it was interesting how in the argument she explains the reason why they speak English is because it gives them a little bit of common ground, so we're not trapped into what a fucked up whole thing with the relationship. Like if you were in a relationship with someone who spoke another language, a lot of times you end up like learning their language, you know, but two different languages coming together. And
yeah, English is the common language here in Europe. That's the common language. That's what people don't, because there's so many different languages in Europe.
Really?
Yeah. And so people learn English to communicate with sort of, you know, globally, I guess. It's weird. I mean, I wouldn't even know any. I have absolutely no comparison.
That's just interesting. It makes sense. You know, like that's just when you're out of the house and you're dealing with people on the street. It would make sense to have a common tongue,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, and then you could do whatever later. That makes sense in a lot of space, like sci-fi video games and even TV shows and stuff. It's common is English. Yeah, it makes sense.
And do you ever hear her speak German in the movie?
Never.
Who would she speak it to?
Well, I was just wondering if she said a German phrase. I didn't pick up on anything.
Or she just cuss or have like, you know, like.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You would think there would be like some kind of moment to come through. I did like when she got mad at the fucking prosecutor, when she starts like going off toward the end, she starts slipping into like this really German accent. And it's just like, oh, that's the first time I've actually heard her like.
No. In the argument with her husband, she when she gets really angry, she slips into that Germany, like, you know, Austrian, like, sounding accent.
It's so nice, man. How did she not win fucking Best Actress? I'm sorry. Like, come on. Emma Stone was great, but it is kind of like a showy piece. Like, this woman learned fucking French for this movie. She couldn't speak French, and she learned a fucking different language for this role.
And Emma Stone's performance was way more, like, physical.
Comical and bombastic.
Yeah. It's a larger performance. This is actually like fucking like acting, you know. Everybody in this movie is just so fucking believable. It's two different things, you know.
It is, but I mean, this one looks just, I don't know, this just looks so much harder. Like it's little micro expressions that you're like super analyzing everything because you want to know. And it's like, how do we know? The movie's not giving us any plot to go off of, so we're just constantly looking at everybody's facial reactions or tics or what they're saying. Why are you doing this? Oh,
and even her level, with like when she's having to speak French and she's trying to like work it out, you know, what she has to say. And then at a certain point, she's just like, fuck it, I'm going to speak English because this is the best I can do. I can't properly portray what I'm trying to say because I don't know the language well enough.
Yeah, I actually think it'd be really interesting to watch this and be a native French speaker or, you know, have a really good grasp on the language because I would be curious. I mean, to me, her French sounds good, but that's because I don't speak French really. I would be really curious what it comes across to a native speaker, you know?
I think she learned French to do this picture.
Well,
yeah, the actress did, yeah.
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 But, I mean, is she speaking in a really broken accent? Like, how heavy is her, like, what is her sentence structure like? Like, all of that. I would be really curious.
I kind of hope
how she comes across.
I kind of hope it's a little broken, you know? Like, I wouldn't want it to sound perfect. Yeah. I kind of imagine.
But that also plays into public perception, though. You know, if someone who can barely speak your language, you know, is trying to say, oh, but I didn't do this, I'm a good, loving wife. I mean, that plays into it, though.
It does. And I love everybody's reaction when she, in the courtroom's got to switch to English. Everybody's got to go over to the interpreter, and the interpreter's like, oh, fuck, I got to work now. God damn it. But she's kind of like half smiling. Oh, everything is so good. I really enjoyed this.
I also really enjoyed seeing the French courtrooms compared to the U.S. courtrooms because I kind of like it. I kind of like how it's more like a conversation. And when someone says something in testimony, they can just turn and be like, is that true? Because that's not what you said.
It's like you're always on the stand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're sitting there mic'd up, and it's just kind of, you know.
And the jury and the judge are behind the same bench.
That's so wild.
Yeah, they're all looking at you. It's weird. And I couldn't figure out, were those with the jury, were those normal people? Because they were still dressed kind of nice. You know, I didn't know if they were like, maybe, I don't know. They called them jurors. And like here in the United States, if you're a juror, you know, you got jury duty. Well, you're just a random citizen.
But they say a jury of your peers. So maybe it's just a different.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about I don't know anything about the French legal system at all. But yeah, it was definitely interesting.
I don't really have any costume notes except for the, who was it? The prosecutor wearing the red robe, and he's bald, and it just felt like it was a child playing dress up the whole time I was watching him. I could not get over. I feel like he needed a wig or something to like balance him out.
Right? I kept thinking about that too. Like, yeah, I don't know. I guess we're thinking about the, you know, fucking English.
I know. I was like, where's your wig?
I'm going to jump in with the jury thing. I just looked it up. It says a 12-member panel composed of 3 judges and 9 jury members from the general public.
Okay, so they were normal French citizens.
Yes.
Wait, what was the first part? Say it again, sorry.
It's a 12-member panel composed of 3 judges and 9 jury members.
Okay, the 3 judges. I was wondering where those people came from.
Oh, so it was 3 judges. Okay, so all right, okay, that makes sense. Because I thought the other people on the other side, I was like, oh, those are like note keepers or clerks or something.
Yeah.
All right, that makes sense. Because that one judge in the middle, the lady is just talking.
She's probably the head judge, you know.
But that's weird, though, because she's the only one that they all stand for. Where they're like, you know, whoever's entered the chamber, rise. And she's the only one
the assistant judges. Maybe you got to work your way up to that.
Wait. Maybe she's not one of the 3 judges. Maybe she's like the person who oversees and makes sure that everything is fair. Like a referee.
No, because they called her a judge. And then the boy goes into her chambers later. And they have that weird conversation where she's like,
I'm not bringing you in tomorrow because, you know, we're about to talk about some shit and you don't need to hear it.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I'm going to know about it on the news anyway. So what are we talking about?
It's like, I've already been hurt. You can't hurt me again.
When do people watch what they say? Yeah, the kid was vicious.
Yeah, he was. But that does, I mean, that sounds like a referee, though. Like, she's making sure everything is fair and that the right people are there.
Yeah, but they called her
Your Honor. Are you still on Wikipedia? No, she could be like a judge. But like she's like a hot, like not like a judge on the jury. She's like a judge who presides over the whole thing. But she also doesn't get a vote. Maybe I don't know. Jared, what's Wikipedia say?
Oh, I've already closed it. I've moved on.
Well, she didn't. She didn't get to like vote or anything, right? She just gets to make the ruling, right? The jurors decide if you're guilty or not, right?
Well, no, the judge can overrule the jurors, can't in the U.S. anyway, right?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, really?
I think a judge
sure
can
that's
only...
happened before.
Oh, I thought a judge can only hand your...
Oh, okay, I don't know that.
Yeah, he can only give you a
Listen,
sentence.
I'm not an expert in the legal system.
Look, as many times as I've watched Anatomy of a Murder and A Few Good Men, let me tell you what. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Look, I've seen Law and Order. I know how this works.
Law and Order. What was the other one? L.A. Law? That was the other one from back in the day, right? Although Law and Order is still on. Is that still on television?
Oh, I have no idea.
I think SVU is still on.
Fuck. What with fucking Ice-T? Is Ice-T still on that motherfucker?
Oh, I don't know.
I've been watching ton of Ice-T movies here lately.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Surviving the Game, Trespass. Those are the only ones. I got Johnny Mnemonic and Tank Girl on the list.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Quality film.
You know, you got to do rewatches every now and again. We're talking about fucking trials. What did you guys think about that psychiatrist? What a fucking dick.
Dude.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I was like, wow, you can just openly talk about all this shit, you know? And also, you don't know.
And interrupt it seems her. In the middle of her fucking testimony, just fucking interrupts her.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it could be just his point. It's his point of view on things. So how is that even testimony? I don't know.
He's considered an expert, though.
Expert on that man's life.
Yeah, because Yeah, because he comes in. An expert on his inner mind. Yeah. I mean, if someone is suicidal and they're going to receive psychological help, once a week, they would have some sort of inkling, yes, on whether this person is suicidal or not. You would think. You would hope.
Yeah, and I love that Sandra's point of view a lot of times is, what you hear from a relationship isn't the whole story. And mm-hmm. if you paint anybody's specific point of view, that doesn't mean that's the way the whole thing is, you know? It's just a piece of it, you know? And everybody has these moments where you blow things out of proportion or you need to get something off your chest, but that's not, like, the scope of the entire relationship. It's very interesting. And it's very true, but, like, you know, it's because you tend to, like, get stuck on these things, you know, the things that happen, and that's the way it always is, but that's not necessarily true. Shadow of a doubt.
Ooh, good Alfred Hitchcock movie. Anybody got anything else? Are we at ratings? It feels kind of early, but I think we're at ratings. Who's going first? Who's rating Anatomy of a Fall?
I mean, I'll go first, man.
Do it, Jerry.
This movie was a shock, man. I didn't know what to think of it, and it was very refreshing. I haven't seen a talking head movie in a while, especially one that I just, like, got into. You know, I was like, holy shit! It just makes you question so much, and it's probably some of the best acting I've seen in a really long time. And every single character is so fucking strong, and it deserved to win for writing, man. It's just a really, really, really excellent movie, man. It's a 10. It's got to be a 10. I mean, it's top tier. It's a movie that lends itself to watching multiple times, and I feel like you get way more out of it. And I don't know, man. It's really masterfully done. Very, very pretty.
All right. Kristen, you go next. You go last.
Yeah, I can go next. I was pleasantly surprised by this movie. I was not really expecting to enjoy it. And enjoy might be the wrong word, but... it's definitely something you can appreciate because everything about it is fantastic and it makes you think a lot. I was sort of expecting this to be a very, your standard couple murder movie. Unfortunately, so many cases where couples murder each other instead of just leaving each other. And this is, I think, this is presented differently, and I don't want to say it was refreshing because...
A refreshing murder.
A refreshing murder. But it does make you stop and think, and you do feel for the characters, for all of them, and the fact that it is three different languages and a mix of cultures adds to the layers here, and yeah, it's just really well done and well written and well acted, and you know, everything is really nice. So I'm gonna give it a 10.
All right, two tens. Obviously, I'm gonna give this a 10. It's a great movie,
Shocker.
Right? It's so good. Yes, the acting is great. Everything's great. The cinematography is great. The sound is good. The lack of score is awesome. Like, yes. Let's do that. You know, more often, and like focus on silence and things like that, and just sound effects, and oh, amazing. Really, the argument scene, this flashback in the middle of the movie, I think it's around 90 minutes into the film. You have to watch this movie for that scene. I think it's one of the best scenes. I think it's the best scene of the year of any movie that I've seen. And I think it's one of the best scenes in any movie within the last 10 years. It's so fucking good. The acting's good. The writing's good. The direction's good. You're seeing everything you need to see and not see at the right moments. And it feels like a real argument. It's so awesome going from, like, here we are talking about time and time management. And that's the issue here. But, and then, like, you see a man, like, get ready to cry and then turn around after another sentence and get pissed and turn into, it has emotional outbursts, turn to fucking hate and anger. It's so fucking powerful. And then his wife diffusing a situation, and then she gets pissed when he brings up the son. It's so fucking good. It's so real. We learn so much. We get so much backstory just from dialogue, just from characters fighting with each other. Man, it's filmmaking, dude. It's filmmaking. I loved it. It was just like all the all the moments. This is like what I want in cinema. Thank you. Give me more. I guess it's the new wave of the new century. All right. So, yeah, it's a 10. It's a 10.
A smart, solidly crafted procedural that's anchored in family drama. Anatomy of Fall finds Sandra Hüller and director co-writer Justine Trinet operating at peak power. Excuse the alcohol. With the audience saying, fantastic acting and a fascinating plot, keeping Anatomy of a Fall gripping, even if it might run a little too long, which I do not agree with. This 2.5 hours was very entertaining to me the entire time.
I have heard some complaints about that.
You know what? Everybody calm the fuck down. That's why Mike didn't even show up this week. He's like, man, this movie's fucking slow.
Wait, what? For real?
You know what? Early in the week, I got a text from Mike going, damn, this motherfucker drags. And I'm like, come on, Mike.
Really? I didn't even notice the length. I'm going to be very honest. I'm surprised that it was 2.5 hours.
Going to throw him a little shade there. Rotten Tomatoes brings us in at a 96% tomato meter.
All right.
With an audience score of 90%.
All right. Yeah. I'm, you know, I'll take
90. Certified fresh.
On all that stuff. Oh, do you guys think this movie would have been nominated for as many Oscars if we hadn't had the strike mixed with COVID delays?
What do you mean by that? Like it would have other things to go up against?
Yeah, it would have had more U.S. movies would have been released and therefore would have been nominated and shoved some of the foreign films. Because this wasn't the only foreign film. We also had like Past Lives and there were a bunch this year. I mean, Zone of Interest.
The acting in this is so strong.
Well, I don't know. I think that the last batch of U.S. movies is really, really strong, but it's not like it's they've been lagging for a while. I don't know that. I mean, you're saying you're blaming all of that on COVID?
Well, COVID, the strike.
Yeah. So, no, they've been out of the game for a while, I think. This is, I mean, when was the last year that we had, like, a lot of really good releases from the U.S.? Like a lot.
I don't know. Last year was so good, but then you look at it and it's like, you know, 40% of it's not from the United States. I don't know. It's just kind of crazy. I mean, like, I know this was a trend. What was it? Was it 2019 Parasite one? Mm-hmm. Whatever year. Yeah, Parasite one. That was like the first time like I remember seeing a foreign language movie in my lifetime win Best Picture.
That's true. But I feel like the U.S. just hasn't been making good movies for a while now. I mean, they have, but like not like they used to. Like, I feel like when I was younger, there were a lot of good movies all the time coming out. And
it's very hard to get a talkie like this done in America. I mean, hell, even the box office on this wasn't huge. And that's just because, you know, people don't really go see dramas like this just in the theater. But fuck, I wish I would have seen this one in the theater. There's something about just like feeling that, you know, in there.
It made 11.4 million. No, I'm sorry. That's fucking goddamn Saltburn. I'm a dumbass. Shit, Jared, I'm sorry. It only made 5 million. Made 5 million domestically of its 34. Yeah, here in the States. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Still a good movie, though.
It's great. I'm recommending it to everybody I meet.
Right, yeah, this is the one.
I keep bringing it up. I'm like, seriously, got to see this one. This one's the, you know, turn it on and you'll fucking love it.
Yeah, and I feel like you can recommend it to like, you know, like grandma can sit down and watch this and be entertained by it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this would be a good one for grandma.
Yeah, right? Like Poor Things, we're going to turn
that
off because
that's porn.
I wouldn't
recommend Poor Things necessarily.
No, that one's kind of hard. I couldn't recommend that to most of my family. But this one, you know, they're going to end up turning this one into probably like a Netflix miniseries or some shit and stretch it out over 10 episodes.
That would fuck it up so bad, bro. Oh my God. It's perfect the way it is.
Yeah, it's great.
Please don't do that. All right. So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast, where we hope Anatomy of a Fall does not turn into a Netflix TV show. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Movie Crew Pod. You can send us an email at moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook. I already did that one. Jared, where can the audience follow you?
They can find me on Instagram at @checkthegate.
Kristen, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elkins Edits. And we're going to close out the show tonight with a little excerpt from P.I.M.P.
Huh?
the cats like agreeing, like, hell yeah, play that pimp
song. Hell yeah. I don't know what you heard about me, motherfucker.